violence is not a metaphor for God. Yet we just heard, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet. The guests made light of the invitation and went away. Some seized the king's slaves and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. It is impossible to hear the reading of today's gospel without imagining the shocking violence in Israel and Palestine this week, starting with the horrific attacks by Hamas. You saw it or read about it. Indiscriminate slaughter of innocent civilians and children, the terror of those taken hostage, and retaliation of even greater killing of innocent civilians and children, as well as complete destruction of homes, houses of worship, schools, entire neighborhoods. People all over the world are witnessing the brutality, fear, and trauma in the land of the Holy One. They and we are speechless with pain and grief. So many times this week, the only words that were possible were, "Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy on us." And now we have this gospel reading, and we wonder, where is the good news in that? The parable of the great dinner appears in two canonical gospels, Matthew and Luke, as well as in the Gospel of Thomas. In Luke and in Thomas, which are believed to be the original story, it is a simple story of a man, not a king, a man who invites guests to a party. When his servants go to tell the guests that dinner's ready, they make excuses and won't come. So the host directs his servants to go out into the streets and fields and bring in whomever they find so that the house is filled with dinner guests. The end. Jesus offers this parable to his followers in the presence of the Pharisees, those powerful religious leaders who feel threatened by Jesus' teachings. They guard their political power, watching Jesus carefully while plotting to discredit him. Given that context, this parable of the great dinner is often interpreted as a message to those who have earthly power, that God's desire for humanity is not exclusion or even inclusion that must be earned. It is an expansive, all-encompassing invitation and embrace. All belong at the table of God. And we can hear that theme in Matthew's version of the parable, the gospel today, because the king does eventually extend an invitation to all people in the community and gathers them into the feast. But Matthew has wrapped the simple story of inclusive generosity in details of anger and retribution that can't be ignored. And if we intend to read this parable of the kingdom of heaven with the king representing God, then we are trapped in a disturbing vision of paradise, one that includes murdered servants, a burned city, and captive dinner guests who must make merry while one of their friends is tossed out into the cold. Through this lens, then, God becomes a vindictive autocrat, and a relationship with God means fear and coercion, and arbitrary rejection. But violence is not a metaphor for God. one long-standing interpretation of this parable focuses on the community for whom Matthew wrote his gospel. They are first-century followers of the way, reeling from Rome's destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and trying to find their way while they are at odds with the larger religious community. And so, thinking about that context, some read this parable allegorically, where the invited wedding guests are the chosen people of God. They reject God's covenantal invitation, and they're punished through the destruction of their city. The gospel invitation is then extended more broadly, now including Gentiles. The man who is dressed improperly is one who has not clothed himself in Christ. Because he does not live as a true follower of Jesus, he is banished from the feast. Thus, this interpretation serves as a warning to Matthew's community that those who reject Jesus' message or neglect their life of discipleship do so at their own peril. Now, I can see how this allegorical interpretation might set up guardrails for a disoriented first century community. But it still casts God as a petulant destroyer in chief. The human impulse to seek retribution is understandable. But God never desires violence. We know this because Jesus teaches that no one is ever lost to God. God is like a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and when one of them goes astray, he leaves the other 99 and searches until he finds it and brings it home. Truly, I tell you, Jesus says, the shepherd rejoices more over the one who is returned than the 99 who never went astray. That is who God is, Jesus says. And we know that God never desires violence because Jesus shows us what it looks like to love and to be loved by God and how that love flows through a human life of relationships. It looks like welcome and forgiveness and healing. It looks like grief over lives cut short and comfort for those who mourn. It looks like integrity and truth-telling in the face of injustice and solidarity with those who are rejected and marginalized. Violence is not a metaphor for God. Peace is. The peace of God that passes all understanding, the peace that guards our minds and our hearts in the love and life of Christ. Peace that is not an absence of conflict, but the saturating presence of justice and renewal. So, where is God in this parable? There's not much evidence of peace. When I imagine the full scene, the smoldering city, the dead and the injured, the frightened guests, it is clear that God is not the king. But God is there, picking through the rubble, binding up the wounds and holding those who grieve. God goes with the servants to bring those who are hungry into dinner. God is present in the wedding hall, calling out the cruelty of the king and sharing an extra robe with the guest who needs it. And God is moving through the outer darkness when that man gets cast out, finding him and all who weep and shining a light to bring them home. Where is God in the land of the Holy One? Not with terrorists who kidnap and kill innocent civilians, not at the wheel of a tank or behind a gun, not at the table of vengeance and violence. God gathers those who mourn, Jewish and Muslim and Christian, and sits with those held hostage. God breathes for the mothers and the fathers who carry their lifeless children in search of safety. God travels with the refugees and upholds the doctors and nurses who treat the flood of injured people. God strengthens the witnesses to communicate the horrible truth that they see and challenge us to respond in the name of compassion and new life. Violence is not a metaphor for God. Peace and justice are. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. Amen.